Good evening, worms and wormettes. My heart is pounding. I have never been more excited. I've never been more on edge. The drama is overfilling my cup. This happened again, like third week in a row. Sorry, that was my laptop noise. Okay, the drama is overfilling. This is huge. The tea today. This is Poplitics Live. My name is Alex Clark. Thank you so much for being here. Thumbs up as you come in. You got to use your little worm thumbs. Subscribe to this channel, please. Every single Wednesday, we do this 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And I bring you the most interesting pop culture stories of the week without the leftist propaganda. Now, may I take a temperature of the chat today? May I take a temperature of everyone in the chat? Now, how have you felt this week? Have you felt more happy or sad? Because I have to tell you something. I have felt so sad, like on the brink of depth and despair for days now, desperately wishing I lived in that little hole on the side of the cliff that Winnie the Pooh would crawl into all the time. Everything in me is just, I'm on the brink of tears constantly. I feel overwhelmingly scared also, which is kind of weird to like be scared feeling. It's just, I think I'm really perceptive to things, and I don't know, man. It's just like I have a bad feeling, but I'm trying not to like jinx myself. I think part of it has to do with the fact that I'm going to New York City this week because I'm speaking Friday at William Patterson University in New Jersey, if you didn't know. I'm planning on making this my best speech ever, by the way, which I'm very excited about. But I have been feeling really scared to go. Not scared of the school, but just going to New York City in general. I'm really scared with everything going on there, how bad crime is and stuff. You know, it didn't help that a few weeks ago that guy and his girlfriend just like were freaking slashed to death, or that guy was slashed to death in front of his girlfriend for no reason. Like, all that, you know, it's just not helping me. But by the way, if you live anywhere around there in the New York City, New Jersey area, and you want to go to this event Friday, DM me on Instagram at RealAlexClark. I'll give you the link to RSVP. The tickets are free, but you do need to put yourself on the list. So, now, speaking of little life updates and, you know, feeling, like, sad, do you like updates, chat? Of what I'm up to, you know, what I've been diving into. Do you like life updates, yay or nay? Tell me in the chat, because it's this is why it's very helpful for you to be watching Poplitics Live on YouTube, Real Alex Clark, so that we can get real-time feedback in the chat, yay or nay. So, oh no, I just exited out of the chat. Hold on. I have to pull it back up. So tell me how you've been feeling, one. Good, happy week for you, sad week for you. And then I think also, number one, I'm scared going to New York City, but also scared. And I've been there a million times. It's just now I'm scared. You know, I also have the same feeling lately about any time I've been to LA. I'm terrified the whole time. Like, I'm very on edge if I'm actually downtown. And I would feel the same way if I was asked to go to Memphis, you know what I mean? Like New Orleans, any of those places, I think I would be really scared. But also besides that, do you like any life updates or if I should just go into the stories? Because I can just go into stories if you want. Okay, it looks like everybody's saying yes. So let me tell you two other things. Two small things that I'm excited about recently in my personal life. Okay, so this is so, it's not an ad. This is not an ad. I signed up to start getting a physical copy of the Epoch Times newspaper delivered to me. I don't know what has gotten into me. I just all of a sudden the other night, I'm laying in bed at like literally about to go to sleep. And you know, that's when you get your like your best ideas. And I was like, oh, it's so, there's something so cool, girl, about having a real newspaper to look at. So I like go to the Epoch Times website, and then I type in my, I like decide, I think it gets delivered on Thursdays or something, so I'm like so excited that on, maybe on Friday mornings, when I have my little yogurt and my bee pollen and stuff, if I could look at a real newspaper. I don't know, I'm just really excited about it, and they're like the only newspaper I would trust. So I would love to know if anyone else, which I am expecting zero, not one person my age in the chat to get a newspaper delivered. But if you do, I would love to know and love to know what newspapers you get delivered. And if you do get the Epoch Times specifically, I would love to know if it's really worth it, you know, or if I'm going to be like, this was dumb. Okay. Two, I told you, very small things I'm excited about. Two, one of my New Year's resolutions, yes, I am already getting started on it, but one of my New Year's resolutions, and I think the only ones that you can follow through are the ones that you start about now, is to build out a capsule wardrobe where everything can be mixed and matched and go together for the most part. I had this big aha moment recently that whenever I do buy clothes, it's basically only for special events. So the only things I own, nobody believes me, the only things that I own are like random cocktail dresses, gowns, a few band tees, and then like some special coats. I do not own clothes. I do not own clothes. And I know every girl says that, but I actually don't, because I rent everything. Because I have shows or whatever, I'm always filming, I get like a couple shipments a month of clothes to rent. And so I wear, like, the sweater is rented. This is what I'm telling you. People don't believe me. They're like, do a closet reveal. I'm like, there's nothing in my closet, because like this sweater is rented. So it'll go back in a couple weeks. So see, so anyway, what I am doing now, because I think that's problematic, like I need to have some stuff. I'm currently spending a lot of money to get an actual large wardrobe going of neutral toned dress shirts, sweaters, heels, you know, workplace appropriate stuff, good jeans, plain tees that I can layer or wear under blazers or whatever, skirts, things that all have a theme, all have the same aesthetic that I can mix and match together so that I don't always go into my closet like I have nothing to wear, because all I have is like a sexy going out top and a gown. That's my closet. So that's really not helpful. Anyway, all of that and the fact that I have nothing to wear and I don't have like stuff that goes together and I can't put together outfits is adding to my existential sense of constant dread. Existential dread, gang. Drop a black heart in the chat. Existential dread. People are like, wow, this is so depressing. Well, I'm not like other content creators. Good thing it's Halloween week, because I am on that Edgar Allan Poe drip. I'm on the Edgar Allan Poe drip. Drop a raven in the chat. Drop a black heart in the chat. Okay, stories of the day. Stories of the day. Do you know, while you're dropping hearts, do you know the Muffin Man? No. Do you know who Bobby Parrish is, aka Flav City on Instagram? Do you know Bobby Parrish? Yes, you know Bobby. No, I don't. He is always making viral videos, walking through grocery stores, telling you what's Bobby approved. And he'll say something is Bobby approved because the ingredients are good, you know, no seed oils or whatever. He's really good about that. And then he'll say, if it's not, you know, this isn't Bobby approved. He has an app called the Bobby Approved app, where you can scan any item in any grocery store and it'll tell you like this is good or this is bad based on the ingredients. Okay. Well, last night I am minding my own business when he posts this video of his daughter, Rose, who must be 4 years old or something, eating Halloween candy. And I gasped and I gasped over the moms losing their minds in the comments. That video, I'm going to play for you, and we're going to get into the controversy over this video. What was so controversial about his daughter eating this candy? Well, it's not what you're expecting, I'm going to tell you that. So that video we're going to do first today. Then, speaking of the Instagram famous food community, and I love like influencer drama like this, Half-Baked Harvest. Do you know Half-Baked Harvest? AKA Tegan Gerard. There's a ton of controversy around her after a recent New York Times expose. They did a profile on her. So I'm curious if you follow Half-Baked Harvest or if you own any of her cookbooks. I love her. I love her. And so I want to talk about those two things. Then I got to tell you, and I have a lot to say, my takeaway on the Tucker Carlson Theo Vaughn interview that dropped yesterday. Brand new, fresh, hot off the press. It's like almost 3 hours long. Watched the entire thing last night so I could talk about it with you. So we're going to talk that. We're also going to talk about is Travis Kelce getting cold feet with Taylor Swift? Big article just came out on that. Plus, an article alleging that Taylor's BFF, Selena Gomez, thinks that the relationship is moving too fast. All of that coming up today on Poplitics Live. Macy is here. She says that New York Times article was trash, a dumpster fire. Melissa is here. She watches Half-Baked Harvest. We got a birthday in the chat. Happy birthday, B. And A few of you are like, oh, I love Bobby. I love his daughter, Rose. Perfect. Yes, Edgar Allan Poe. The Ravens are in the chat. I'm so glad that we're all on the same wavelength. This is like my saving grace is this live every week, because this is like my corner of the internet where it's like the real ones show up and the real ones we like get to talk with each other and I don't have to worry about anybody being lame. That's nice, where I feel understood. Okay, so Bobby Flava Flav, Flav City, baby. Did Bobby Parrish, a.k.a. Flav City on Instagram, shame parents on Halloween candy? Now, most of you know this. I want to be a mom so bad. But if I would say this, if you want that, if you are like that, let's say you're like me and you're in your single season, single gang. If you're in your single season and you're somebody that really wants to be a mom, let me tell you how you can lose that real quick. If you want that feeling and that desire to be ruined, interact with moms on Instagram. Now, y'all on here, like I was saying, y'all on here are fun, but there are some internet moms who are absolutely insufferable in the comment sections, overly sensitive, critical, victim mentality, stubborn, the list goes on. And I thought, okay, well, surely last night, as you know, I'm scrolling, looking at everybody's Halloween posts. I was Sleepy Time Bear, by the way, from Celestial Seasonings Sleepy Time Tea. I thought surely the one place everyone will come together in harmony is with a kid eating her Halloween candy. Well, I was wrong. So Bobby and his little girl who he posts with, sometimes he just has one child. Once in a while, she'll pop up on the videos. He took her trick-or-treating. And this is what I'm saying about Bobby. His whole brand is like healthy eating. They avoid, you know, excess sugar and dyes and all this kind of stuff. But it seemed like, okay, it's Halloween. She's old enough now to kind of have her own opinion. I'm sure that she heard from her other friends or saw neighborhood kids, you know, going out. I think she probably was like, I want to do it too. So he's like, okay. So she got to pick Halloween candy. And then he filmed her. He let her try everything she got. And so you're seeing this little girl, like, try a Kit Kat for the first time ever. Try Sour Patch Kids for the first time ever in her reaction. So let's watch this video and then see what could possibly be so controversial.
Let's go trick-or-treating. I hope this house has good candy. I'm gonna take a little bit of candy.
Kit Kat. I think I'm gonna like this one.
No, not really. It comes like this.
Is that burger?
I don't think I want to die.
Good move.
Sour Patch Kids. I think I'm gonna like this one actually. No, I didn't think about your banana. EO. EO. What are these?
Skittles.
Don't like it. Look, wait. It's chocolate again. Kinda like this one, but no. Starburst. This is gonna call my eye.
That's what my grandma
can
ate
you
that.
Try it first?
Me?
I'm scared.
Bah. Oh, it's gross.
Then spit it out, then I'm not gonna have it.
Okay. What's it taste like?
So, I mean, other people like it, but I don't. No one is drinking her here.
So there were multiple things that pissed people off about this video. The biggest thing is all of these moms in the comments were like, I mean, rabid, like, how dare you, Bobby? I thought you were better than this. I guess I'm a horrible mom because my kid eats and likes Halloween candy, and basically said that by Bobby posting this video, he was saying that his kid was better because she didn't like traditional candy and that all of the kids in the world who like to eat traditional candy must be, you know, less than his kid or worse than his kid. Absolutely insane. I comment, I didn't didn't even see any of that controversy. I mean, I watched the video, then went to the comments after. So I went to the comments to comment. I said something like, you know, Rose, oh my gosh, I love Rose. She's such an icon. And then I put in quotes, so it tastes like soap. Because he said, what does it taste like? And the first thing without hesitation, she just goes, soap. And I just thought that was hilarious. So I commented that. Then I'm like, wait, what is going on? Like, there was so much animosity in the comments. And so I'm scrolling and scrolling. I could not believe the large majority of the comments under this video. Now, this was last night, so it's been about 24 hours, so maybe it's different now. But when I looked last night, it was like almost all the comments were really upset. So let me look through here. Let me find some of them, because I got to read. I could not believe what some of these criticisms were. I was like, are we watching the same video? I did not in any way, shape, or form think he posted that to be like, my kid is better. See, she doesn't like this. Any kid, her, you have to understand something about Bobby. Their child never eats high fructose corn syrup. She never eats things with dyes. She doesn't eat things with like tons of, you know, she doesn't eat processed food. She doesn't eat excess sugar. It would be the same thing if you are a vegetarian family and you took your kid after, what is she, 3-4 years old? You took your kid to the first time for McDonald's and said, have a chicken nugget, and they're going to spit it out and be like, this is disgusting, because her palate is adjusted to only like a certain thing. Just like if your kid lives off fast processed food for the majority of their life, and then you finally give them, like, you know, organic snacks or stuff made with almond flour or almond butter, you know, all this kind of stuff that doesn't have, you know, corn syrup and everything in it. They're going to be like, ew, and spit it out and say it's disgusting because they're not used to that. It's the same concept but reversed. And everybody took this as a personal attack. Let me look. Okay, let me look at my phone, because on your computer you can't do you can't do, like, I want to see the top comments. So let me look on Instagram. But you can look, too. Bobby Parrish on Instagram. Okay. Top. Why can't I do? Okay. Somebody, first of all, accused her of having disordered eating. Disordered eating is a real thing. I will pray she isn't part of that statistic as she gets older, because her parents demonized every food item to sell their own supplements. I don't see how this video was this. There was nothing. They were shilling for any products. She just tried Halloween candy because it was Halloween, and his whole account is trying food or saying what's good or bad. And like, he wanted to say, okay, like, what do you think of this food, Rose? Why is that so evil to do? This person, when you create content, what's your end goal? What is the point of this one? I want to try to understand. There's no big point. It's called entertainment. It's not that deep. It's a kid who never eats traditional Halloween candy trying Halloween candy. What do you mean? What's the deeper meaning? I'm looking for something like, there's some kind of gotcha to this. I have to keep going. See, this person understands. She said, well, this is how I feel when I try and drink soda now. I used to love it, but I stopped drinking it, so now it's gross. I mean, talk to somebody who shifted from drinking regular Coke or Pepsi to Diet Coke or Pepsi. They will tell you a regular Coke or Pepsi is disgusting because they're not used to that taste of sugar anymore. This is what I mean by moms on the internet need to be locked, some of them, in a padded room. I am worried for some of these people. Why did she go trick-or-treating if she doesn't like candy? What a waste. And then you throw it out. Sorry, this is not a good thing to teach kids. Why bother go trick-or-treating? That has 123 likes. Don't waste food, please. Listen, this is not food. We should throw it all away. This isn't food. This isn't food. Halloween candy. Someone, 97 likes, 23 replies. Poor girl, she's already traumatized about food. Someone said a kid can't even enjoy candy. This is staged. I don't believe this. What are you trying to say about me as a mother? Because my kid enjoys eating their Halloween candy. Disappointed, unfollowing. It's giving bean soup, lady. Is it not? just like everybody else on the internet, Bobby has to jump on the mom-shaming train. The lack of common sense from adults is astounding. This makes me more sad than anything. I'm trying to understand the rationale of letting your kids go out and collect candy only to come home and throw it all away. I get that she may not be used to eating this type of candy or snack, but why go through all the exercise then of going to houses and collecting candy? Because it's fun for a child. It was a fun activity. Sorry I didn't park her in front of the TV to watch Paw Patrol all night. I hope, and I love Bobby, I hope that Bobby posts a video ripping these women to shreds is what I would want. But, you know, I don't think he's going to do that because he's way too nice of a guy. But I hope he does that. Absolutely unreal. It's just so sad. So anyway, if you're Team Bobby, you should comment on that video of Rose trying the candy. And you should say Team Rose, Team Bobby. Like, this video was great. It was wholesome. It was so cute. Like, any kid who is not used to eating candy is going to say it's disgusting. Because it is. As soon as you change your diet, that's happened to me. So I have started, I mean, as much as possible, I do drink Dr. Pepper. That's my special drink that I let myself get away with. But for the most part, I have totally eliminated any junk or processed food. And yeah, when I eat it now, it's absolutely vile, vile. So it's just, no, the idea of having fun is gone. It's over. Fun, RIP fun. That's what we should do. If I had a home with a big yard, next year in my Halloween display, I would do a graveyard. And on each tombstone, I would say things like RIP fun. Here lies overly sensitive. That's what I would do. And I would do, yeah, RIP free speech. I would just, you know, do a whole little graveyard of all these things that apparently we've lost in American culture. Summer saying suggested opinion because one of those candies, she said, I'm scared to try this because it looked like it had filling and stuff. She's like, you got to try it first. And then he said, ew. So then she said, ew. But everything else is clearly, I mean, her opinion. Like, he didn't say anything. She just tried it and spit it out. All right. So that's my rant on Flava Flav. Flav City Bobby Parrish. I would love Bobby Parrish to come on the Spillover so much. I did invite him. And I was like, hey, anytime you're in Phoenix area, like, I'd love to do a Spillover episode with you. And he's like, okay. But, you know, he doesn't know me, so he probably, I'm sure it's off his radar. But you should comment in there, and you should be like, I love this video. It's so cute. By the way, Bobby would love to hear you on the Spillover podcast with Alex Clark and tag me so that, you know, it's fresh in his mind. Let's get Bobby on. All right, moving on to Half-Baked Harvest. But first, today's Poplitics Live is brought to you by Squeeze Juice. I have a flight tomorrow, so you know what that means. I've said it before. I got to have my immunity juice check, immune system check. I love drinking these. They're 100% non-GMO, no water added, not from concentrate juice. This is mandarin, ginger, and carrot. Not from concentrate. Did I say that? It's literally as if you just squeezed fresh fruit into the bottle yourself, except you don't have to. They do it for you. Squeeze Juice will do it for you. It's so good, pulp-free. These bottles are BPA-free. This is made by a small conservative family-owned farm in California. You can get 25% off Squeeze Juice by going to shop.squeezejuice.com with code Alex. That's shop.squeezejuice with code Alex for 25% off. We'll put the link in the chat as well. It comes to your house on non-toxic frozen ice in about 2 days. So, you don't have to be there the second it's delivered, but you should be there within 24 hours. So just make sure that you're going to be home at some point that day, like 2 days from now if you place an order, because it does come fast and fresh, and you want to put it in your fridge soon after. Shop.squeezejuice.com with code Alex for 25% off. And I am going to have a drink before we get into Half-Baked Harvest. Half-Baked Harvest. Some of my favorite cookbooks are Half-Baked Harvest. It's a food blog. If you don't know, it's an Instagram account ran by a 30-year-old woman, same age as me, Tegan Gerard. And I'm not sure how someone can be so polarizing like she is from just existing, essentially, and then posting recipes. Literally, she never does anything besides that. Like, this girl does not post anything. She doesn't post political views, as I'm pretty sure. I've never seen. I've followed her for years. She posts nothing but food. And everyone somehow has an opinion on her, specifically her weight. There's a New York Times article that was just posted. It's a profile on her. Here's what she had to say about the constant speculation on her weight and if she has an eating disorder. So before I read this, I want editors, if you can show some of the pictures I provided of her full body so you can just see what she looks like for context. So in this article, Gerard insisted that she does not have an eating disorder, despite the hundreds of comments that she receives on a day-to-day basis suggesting otherwise. She explained that she has long suffered from social anxiety and separation anxiety, which she has been treating privately. And to cope with her stress, she throws herself into work, admittedly often forgetting to eat and sleep. Now, that's interesting because some people might say, well, that's her soft admittance. Like, yeah, I do have an eating disorder. She's kind of blaming it on stress and I forget to eat or whatever. But, like, I don't know. This is I'm anxious to see what you guys have to say. Article continues. In fact, Gerard's anxiety has kept her living just a this was really surprising. Gerard's anxiety has kept her living just a few hundred yards from her family for nearly her entire life. While the influencer, who boasts over 5 million followers on Instagram, tried going to fashion school in LA, she quickly dropped out to homesickness. Her own mother said it's unfortunate that people feel entitled to comment on someone being underweight when they would never do that if the person was overweight. Facts. Mom for the win on this. I mean, I get the same type of comments, not as often as she does. I mean, she's thinner than me, but I am very, very tiny too. People usually meet me in real life and say I'm even smaller than you think I am because I'm only 5'4". And yeah, I mean, she is a little smaller than me, but I have never... It's just when I say this, it pisses people off. So I understand, like, what she goes through. But, like, I just have never weighed more than, like, about 116 pounds is what I've been at my heaviest my entire life. So I virtually have not changed in size since I was, like, a freaking middle schooler. So I get comments all the time of being like, eat a burger. Alex Clark has anorexia or something. It's, like, hilarious because all I do is freaking snack and eat, and I'm the girl. I am totally the girl in my friend group. I'm the one ordering steak at dinner. I'm getting 2 dozen oysters. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I am always eating. I'm always asking, what's the food at the party? Like, I really care about that. But I get it. It's such a weird double standard for girls who are naturally on the thinner side. And I also think there's something culturally, like, people... Nobody says anything when a chef is fat. Like, when you work in food like that, like, you know, think of, like, Paula Deen or something back in the day. Like, you know, if you're a heavier set person that works in the food industry, nobody complains or says anything. But if you're skinny, then it's like, well, you know, you're not eating and all this. I don't know. It's hard for me because I'm naturally very, very thin. So it's like, does she have an eating disorder? Is it just how she is? I don't know. She also, the New York Times article brings up, she was also once accused of cultural appropriation for mispronouncing the name of a Vietnamese dish and not making it exactly how Vietnamese people make it, I guess. I mean, boo-hoo, cry me a river. Well, that right there is just ridiculous. That's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, so she has no controversy except for the way that she looks, essentially, is what I think is interesting. So I am curious from the chat if you follow her, what you think. Stephanie says, Alex, you don't look unwell, but her skin doesn't look well. I guarantee you she's under 90 pounds. It's totally different than you. Also, people say stuff to fat people literally constantly. Jocelyn says there's a different picture where she's wearing a black dress. You can see her ribs. It does worry me. Grace says she is such a wholesome person. She literally eats all of her recipes on camera for her daily stories and is really family oriented. Some people have health issues or they're just skinny. Jennifer said anxiety can be caused by under eating, especially protein deficiency. That is true. That is true. A lot of people that are like, I'm always like upset or whatever. It's like they're living off processed food. They're not getting enough protein. You know, maybe she should try like a beef organ supplement. Macy says my best friend in high school was her size and she ate like a baby hippo. Well, baby hippo gang rise. Po gang, hippo gang. Justine says she does look pretty skinny, but I would assume she's naturally thin. But how could you possibly know? I mean, that's the thing. Like, let's say that Half-Baked Harvest does have an eating disorder she struggles with, right? Are you, like, the anonymous people in the comments dragging her, being like, make a statement! Make a statement, you skank! You know, is that what's going to change her and prompt her to get help? No. It's going to be her family and friends privately, you know, helping her out and stuff. Like, we're not going to do anything. So it's just kind of like, whatever, man. Amanda says, I'm a hefty lady. I've also been skinny, and I have yo-yoed my whole life with my weight, but have heard comments about fat cooks, about how they definitely love their own food. It's about health, not size. So that's the Half-Baked Harvest controversy. The Vietnamese stupid thing is just like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I cannot believe people. Yeah, everybody was like, are you going to address this or not in her comments under that video? Because it was just, you know, it had Vietnamese name. She just said it wrong. And then they were like, well, anyone who's actually Vietnamese knows that you use these ingredients and you don't do this. And so it was so offensive to them. I mean, please. It's like food is the one thing. Like, this is what I don't understand, because you know who complains about this stuff is never the people in these cultures. Like, I guarantee all of those comments. Now, I didn't click on every single profile of the people, but these comments, I bet they're all white liberals. It's always white people who are screaming about cultural appropriation. So how is it then if I go to a Mexican restaurant and celebrate my birthday, they're putting like a sombrero on my head and giving me a mustache and like a blanket, what do you call that? Like a blanket cape or whatever. Not a parka. What is that called when people, a poncho. Yeah, they put a poncho on you and all this. So then what? So I, you know, it wasn't my idea, but the Mexican restaurant people do that. So it's like, are they doing a cultural appropriation because I'm white and you put that stuff on me? Like, please stop. Please stop and think. I was driving the other day. This is so funny. So I live in Scottsdale, and there is some Asian restaurant. And I drove past, and I was like, I had to look twice. I was like, you're kidding me. There is an Asian restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona. Google it. It's called Slanted Rice. Now, if I started that restaurant as a white person, you and I know I would be immediately torched on Yelp, accused of racism and all this kind of stuff. But it's an Asian restaurant and they named it Slanted Rice. So no one's going to say anything. But it's like, what? Where are we coming up with these rules? It is so stupid. She was appreciating the culture. She loved the dish. So what? She mispronounced it. I mispronounce stuff all the time. Blanket cape. I couldn't think of poncho. Everybody's making fun of me for saying he gave me a mustache and a blanket cape. Well, I tried. See, now I can be accused of cultural appropriation because I didn't say poncho and I called it a blanket cape. You know, it is what it is. So that's Half-Baked Harvest. Let's please talk. Did anybody watch or listen to any of, you didn't have to listen to the whole thing, but did you listen to any of Theo Von and Tucker Carlson's episode? Theo Von interviewed Tucker Carlson yesterday on his podcast, and that episode came out. Did anyone watch it? It's nearly 3 hours long. But listen, I was so excited to talk about this. Besides the spillover this week, I have homework for you, and that is to watch, don't even listen, watch on YouTube the new interview with Theo Von and Tucker Carlson. It is one of the, and I have Rolodex in my memory of like, these are my like top five favorite podcast episodes of all time, like individual episodes from random podcasts. Like, oh, this episode, I still think about it. You know, it would be so cool to know like what that is that I've done for you guys. Like, man, I still to this day think about this episode. But there are other podcasts that have that, you know, for me. And this episode is one of them, like stands out to me for so many reasons. And I'm going to tell you. So it is so worth it to listen or watch this whole interview. But it's because it is like the perfect mixture of serious moments, funny moments. I don't even, not even on Tim Dillon recently am I laughing out loud. Like, I feel like nobody's like, I don't know, Tim Dillon kind of lost. If you listen, if you're a Tim Dillon show listener, I'm a Tim Dillon fanatic. So Theo Vaughn, Tim Dillon are my favorite comedians ever. And I would say Theo for like podcast stuff, not his stand-up is like whatever, but stand-up, Tim Dillon is like my favorite. And as a podcast host, he was always one of my favorites. But he fired his producer, who he really fed off of. And ever since that, I have felt like the show wasn't as funny. And it is, like, my favorite podcast ever. So I just haven't been laughing out loud at Tim. But I was laughing out loud at so many moments between Theo and Tucker last night. Like, I was so enjoying myself. And I don't think there's ever been a time where I'm listening to a podcast where I literally, like, involuntarily, like, I don't know, am reacting to the podcast without thinking. Like, it never, like, popped in my head, like, that's funny, I'm going to laugh. I don't know. Maybe nobody does that. Maybe this is really stupid rants. Maybe this is, like, stupid Alex Shower thoughts. But I just, like, was, like, cracking up all of a sudden. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't know. I didn't even think about how funny that was. It was just, like, my brain reacted with no hesitation. I don't know. That was stupid. Just forget I said all that. But oh, it was so good. And then there were so many deep moments and stuff I learned about Tucker that I had never heard. And, you know, Theo Vaughn and Tucker Carlson are my two, like, favorite people on the planet. So both of them together on an episode was just so kismet. And it was just listening to it. I think I also listen to podcasts differently and interviews differently, because as somebody who interviews people for a living, like, I always want to be better. And I look at how other people, you know, ask questions and things to, like, grow myself as an interviewer. And Tucker is so interesting, and he is my bucket list person to interview on The Spillover, because he really challenges you as an interviewer. I mean, he has an answer to everything. He is so smart. He is so witty. He is so funny. And there was one moment in the podcast where Theo is so caught off guard by, like, the pace of the conversation that he literally is like, I don't know where to go with this next. And so he kept it in there of him being like, yeah, man, like, I'm trying to figure out where to take this conversation. Like, I don't even know what to say now, because Tucker is the king of being a conversationalist, you know, even more than Theo. And I think Theo is somebody who always has something to say. But I thought it was interesting Theo kept that in. I think me, as a host, I would have told my editors to take that part out, because I would have said it made me look weak as an interviewer that I, like, didn't know what to say. And that happens all the time. Like, that happens in my interviews as well, where there's stuff that gets cut out. I mean, I don't cut out crazy things, but I'm just saying, like, moments like that I'm like, I mess up what I'm saying. I rephrase the question, things like that. All that gets cut out. You never see that. But to make sure that it's perfect. And Theo left that in, and I thought it was interesting because Tucker tried to then steer the conversation and help him, which I was like, man, Tucker is just so talented. Like, he knew, sitting on the other end, like, what Theo felt like trying to help him lead the conversation. I don't know. It was just, that was like a little, you know, inside baseball for me as somebody who does podcasting that I enjoyed. But it was funny. It was smart. Anyway, I have like three clips, short clips, that were like some of my favorite parts of the interview. Now, it's like 3 hours long, like I told you, so there's a million things that are good. But I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of that. So I am just going to show you these three clips. So here's the first thing that was powerful that I loved in the interview.
The only thing that enrages me is when you hear people say, you know, you must believe me. I have no obligation to believe anybody. You have an obligation, if you want me to believe you, to prove what you're saying.
Right.
And I have a right to ask simple, fair questions. How do you know that? How can I trust that? And if you don't give me those answers, then I just don't believe you. And I don't have to believe you. And if your recourse is, you're a bad person for not believing me, fuck you. That's my response, fuck you. And especially in this case.
Mic drop moment, right? Then he went on an epic rant about architecture, which before you play this. This is like something I have been thinking about a lot recently, and I am in such agreement with Tucker. So I have been thinking about this, about like, why is architecture so ugly all of a sudden? Like, there has to be a reason. I know it's deeper than just this is cheaper or whatever. It's like, what happened? We just stopped making our cities look beautiful. And Tucker, of course, brings this up, and or maybe Theo brought it up, but they get into this topic. And I mean, the conversation goes way longer than the short clip. I picked a very short section of it. But it's so good because, of course, Tucker Carlson has this really fascinating, deep answer. There is a reason why our cities are becoming ugly. Here's his opinion.
You've got a lot of great public architecture in Louisiana. None of it has been built since Huey Long was murdered. Mm. Okay. So why is that? And it's been replaced by disposable garbage and the dollar store. I'm sorry to single them out, but they are a symbol of it. It's so intentionally ugly. Box stores are so ugly. You're like, there's got to be a purpose behind, you know, architecture exists for a reason. You're sending a message when you build a building, right, when you build anything. And the message of box stores and dollar stores and of public, the DMV, is you mean nothing. We're not going to spend any time or any energy trying to elevate you or please your senses or build anything beautiful. It's ugly on purpose to let you know that you mean nothing.
Absolutely powerful, right? And it's like, dude, I never even thought about that. That's what I loved about this interview. There were so many moments as a listener that I was like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. Like, Tucker Carlson is the one and only person. So we have so many people. Okay, actually, there's two. We, you know, Turning Point USA hosts these huge events where we host like the biggest speakers in the conservative movement. Our next event coming up in December is America Fest, which you can get a discount on your tickets, amfest.com with code RealAlexClark or code Poplitics, I believe. And we host all these speakers. And a lot of these people, you know, they come to several of the events. So I've heard them speak a million times. And it's kind of like the same thing. But there are two people that, even though I work here, I am like, I have to be in the room when they speak. And I will like change my whole schedule. I'll say, I can't do interviews at this time. I can't, you know, do a news hit, whatever. I can't do a meet and greet. I have to be in the audience for two people, Tucker and Ali Beth Stuckey. Every time they say stuff that is so profound and pierces my heart and my soul in a way that I never stop thinking about. It stays with me for the rest of my life. It resonates with me deep in my mind. And those are my two people. I'd love to know if you've been to a Turning Point event. You should if you haven't. But if you have, who that is for you, especially if you've been to more than one. Like, I have to always see this person speak because, man, they're so good. And that's just Megyn Kelly did an interview with Tucker Carlson like last year, I think. And that's also one of my favorite episodes. And it's just him as a guest, like, oh, and then listening to this 3-hour interview with Theo, like I had my whole list. Like, I was like, if I ever get to interview him, I know exactly how I'm going to start. Like, I know what my starting question is. Like, I came up with all of this as I'm listening. I'm like thinking to myself, what would I ask? Because that's, you know, what I do. And anyway, oh, it's just so good. Please, please, please listen to it and tell me what you think. Okay. So one more clip. This was juicy. This is conservative. There was this juicy, a huge chunk of the podcast was talking about drugs. Tucker used to be an addict, and then Theo Vaughn struggles with addiction. And so a lot of it was about drugs. And so there's this juicy drug and sobriety talk, but all of a sudden, Theo Vaughn spills some juice on Shepard Smith, which catches Tucker so off guard. He's like, how do you know this? And then he's like, well, I can't make it. And Tucker saves himself because he's like, well, I can't make a comment, you know, because I'm sure him and Shepard are friends or friendly. And he's like, I don't want to get involved in this and calling him out publicly. But he's like fascinated that Theo knows this information about Shepard Smith. Watch this.
How were the first 6 weeks?
That's the toughest part.
Oh, I know. I've been there.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
What did you have to get off of?
Oh, you name it. But okay. Yeah, it's been 21 years, but yeah.
But you can drink though?
No, I can do a little blow, I can drink, but other than that, I'm totally sober. It's a modified sobriety.
Who was your sponsor, Shepard Smith? That's what I want to know.
Okay, that's funny, but I'm not going to comment on it beyond that.
That's fine. No, and no dig to Shepard, I'm a fan of Shepard.
Yeah.
But he's just a legend in a lot of circles from a lot of friends of mine from different colleges.
How do you know all this? It's like,
dude, it's easy. You just be alive and you just pay attention.
So that was one of the moments where I started laughing out loud with Tucker is when Theo's like, oh, that's easy, man. I just be alive and pay attention. And I like loved that. Like, Theo Vaughn, his merch team should start selling merch that says be alive, pay attention. Like, so genius. Anyway, So this was just my endorsement of this episode. One of the highlights of my week was listening to this. So good. Can't recommend it enough. Okay, next thing, last thing, is Travis Kelce getting cold feet? TMZ posted a pretty strong article alleging that Travis and his family have about had it with the attention that they're getting from Travis and Taylor Swift's relationship. Excuse me, I'm burping my squeeze juice. Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ that the frenzy in the press over Tay-Tay and Travis has become incredibly overwhelming for his immediate family members, including his mom, Donna, his dad, Ed, and even his fellow NFL brother, Jason. TMZ says, our sources tell us the whole family's been under a microscope since the initial dating rumblings way back in September. And they've all been getting blown up nonstop on their personal phones and on social media since Trav and Tay went public as a couple. One other interesting tidbit relayed to us, Travis's flesh and blood are a bit startled by Swifties and their intense, to put it mildly, love for her. Wow, that was a call out. We're told that their fierce passion actually makes them a little worried for her boyfriend's safety, even with him being a 6'5", 250-pound NFL superstar. Article says, all that being said, the Kelces keep smiling for cameras. They're fully aware how many are on them, especially when they interact with Taylor face to face. That makes me nervous. This makes me nervous. Because, one, I think that TMZ is a very solid source. And I am scared that this is true and that it is becoming overwhelming. And maybe Travis is like, well, I'm fine, but it's starting to like bother him. Like, well, my family's not. And he is so close with his family that if they're all bothered by it and like, I hate this, Travis, that he's going to start holding that against Taylor and being like, I don't know that I can do this because of my family. So like, if Donna's miserable, if Jason is miserable, if Kylie's miserable, and they're like our lives are just worse off with you dating Taylor, I'm so scared that he'll dump her. I'm so scared. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think like this is crap? The family is fine. This is somebody who's like pointing their nose in the situation and doesn't actually know what's going on. Or do you think, no, this is concerning and we should be worried that this is all going to end? And remember, the pressure is really just starting because it's not what I think is going to be the hardest test for their relationship. It isn't the attention even. It's going to be the next several months of her being on an international tour and not being here and getting to see him very much. That's going to be the hardest part. Is they're going to be so busy, him with his season, her with the tour now, starting back, like she's not going to be able to fly in constantly and spend the night with him. You know, he's not going to be able to see her for dates in New York. And then it's like, is everything just going to fizzle out because everything has to be long distance, barely talking, barely seeing each other? That's scary. Then we got this Page Six article saying that Selena Gomez allegedly thinks that Taylor is moving too fast with Travis and is concerned. Selena thinks that Taylor going to games and gallivanting through New York immediately after just meeting Travis is something that is very unlike her, according to Page Six. Is it unlike Taylor is what I want to say, because compared to her most recent relationship with Joe Alwyn, yes. Compared to every other relationship Taylor has had, no. Selena, I want everyone to remember this. So Selena and Taylor are best friends. Selena is OG in Taylor's life. Her and Taylor have been best friends since 2008. That is 15 years of friendship. She was around when Taylor was posting bikini kissing pics with that second-rate DJ, a.k.a. Calvin Harris. So everyone should save it, really, because, in my opinion, Selena has seen way worse than this with way less respectable men when it comes to Taylor. And when it comes to, like, well, she never does this. She never posts publicly. No, she didn't with Joe. Everybody else she did. Tom Hiddleston, we had candids. They were walking around in public together and doing crazy stuff. Tom Hiddleston was wearing a I Love TS shirt, like in the ocean or a pool or something. I mean, kissing pictures, straddling Calvin Harris in bikinis, all of this kind of stuff. She had candids with Maddie Healy. Hello. That was quick. Jake Gyllenhaal, they were strolling around together in public. Harry Styles, did I say him? So please be so for real. Please be so for real. I don't think that this is true. I don't think that Selena Gomez thinks things are moving too fast and that she's concerned. If it was, let's just say this is true. If Selena really told someone that she had concerns about Travis and Taylor, it is because she is jealous. Because Selena is doing this really weird, I've talked about it, self-deprecating thing about how single she is and like, oh, well, no one's ever going to marry me and all this kind of stuff. And I think that comes from a place of insecurity. And so if she is feeling insecure about the fact that she's not married, she's around Taylor, who's happy in love. She's around, you know, Nicola Peltz and the Beckham kid who are married. She's like third wheeling their whole marriage. If she's always around all these other people that are happily in relationships, I think she's going to start feeling insecure. And I get it because I am her, okay? I get it because I feel like the Selena Gomez of my friends. I'm the one that's always like chronically single, like never dating anybody, like any new dates? No. Like that's always how it is with me. So I get it, but if this is true, and I also think she is so beyond, like, Selena has never leaked things about Taylor. You know what I mean? Like, she is her best friend. She's not going to say something to somebody that she knows is going to, you know, sell it to the tabloid. So it's just, like, that would be real crazy, and Taylor immediately would find out if Selena did say this, if it's true, and I think Taylor would cut her out of her life because Taylor is so finicky with trust and loyalty. She wouldn't, I think that would be really, really a big, huge blow in their friendship, and that would be really sad. So I tend to think it's not true. In the chat, let me know, true or not true, Selena Gomez saying that she's concerned and thinks Taylor and Travis are moving too fast. Okay, now, two things. Don't forget Friday, if you live in the New York City area or New Jersey, I am speaking at William Patterson University. If you want to go, tickets are free, but you do need to RSVP. DM me on Instagram at RealAlexClark for the link. Second thing, the spillover tomorrow is one of the reasons I am absolutely on edge this week because it is so polarizing. I mean, this is just going to make daycare episodes seem like nothing. I am actually anticipating losing thousands of followers over it. It's a fascinating conversation. My guest is someone who grew up with an entire family involved in the prosperity gospel, and then they left it. And this episode is about calling out false teachers, how to spot them, what the specific problems they have are with some of the most popular teachers, pastors in America, churches in America, why. We also get into a conversation about healing, you know, apostles, prophecy, speaking in tongues, all that kind of stuff, if they think it's biblical or not. And then most importantly, what is the real gospel? Like, what is real? How do we know what is real? How do you know if your pastor or your church is teaching it? That drops tomorrow at midnight Eastern, wherever you get your podcast. Maybe it'll come early. Who knows? You never know what could happen. But it will be a really juicy one also to watch on Real Alex Clark YouTube. Did you thumbs up this video yet? I forgot to say earlier, I think thumbs up, or maybe I did. No, I did. Worm thumbs, use your worm thumb, thumbs up this video. If you came in later, please subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube. Subscribe to this channel if you're listening on podcast. Please do that. I will see you next Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's Pop Culture Without the Propaganda. Every Wednesday, I'm Alex Clark, and this is Poplitics.